handoff. Adrian up the middle, room to the 20, cuts to the left to the 25, and Adrian's loose! He splits the defense! 50, 40, 30, goodbye, baby! Touchdown! That's an 82-yard touchdown by Adrian Peterson, matching the longest of his career.
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
This is Vikings Live at Winter Park, and I'm Paul Allen. This is the regular season finale. Welcome to the Vikings Radio Network, and we also welcome head coach Leslie Frazier into the conversation, kind enough to join us atop every show each and every week, thanks to Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. Happy holidays, Coach Frazier. How are you?
Thank you.
In case you haven't heard, it's a win and get in scenario for your team. What do you think of it?
Well, we're excited about that. Our guys have worked extremely hard to put ourselves in this position, and now we're one game away from playing in the playoffs.
When you got them back on Wednesday, what'd you say to them?
I kind of said what you just said. You know, do you guys realize that you're one win away from playing in the playoffs and competing for a Super Bowl? And I wanted them to be able to embrace that fact and really begin their preparation in earnest.
Cowboys and Redskins in the evening. You at 3:25 this Sunday. Pregame for the flagship begins at 1:30, 2:30 for network affiliates. You have a couple of significant games before that with Chicago and Detroit and the Giants and Philadelphia. Who cares, right? Because it's win and in.
Yeah, I mean, it's more about us, Paul, and, you know, I'm not concerned what happens with those other teams. Just doing all we can to make sure we get a win at home.
How did your defense hold the Houston Texans to no touchdowns for the first time since 2006?
I know. That's an incredible effort by our defensive staff, led by Alan Williams, along with our players. Just did a great job of executing the game plan, and that's a very good offense. And to hold them without a touchdown, the first time that it's been done in 106 ball games. Very, very impressive.
No practice again today for Adrian Peterson. How is his abdomen?
He's much improved. He was able to get some work. He will be able to get some work on Friday, but he's making progress.
Nice to have Toby Gerhardt, though, in case something comes up wrong with Adrian, right?
Yeah, Toby's done a terrific job anytime he's had to stand in for Adrian, and we have a lot of confidence in Toby.
It's not easy being Adrian Peterson's backup, is it?
No, you're not going to get a lot of touches either in practice or games. And
yeah,
Toby is perfect for the position because he doesn't have to have a lot of reps, and he's a very bright guy, and he's a very good football player.
Toby, a quiet-going kind of guy, so I guess a guy like me would never know what he really feels, but when you're a Heisman Trophy candidate, at Stanford, and then you come into the game, and oh, by the way, you're backing this guy up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when Adrian got hurt last year, was in and out, then he would sometimes go for 90 to 100 yards a game. So it was a quality draft pick who just fell into a spot that was difficult.
Yeah, I mean, he's great for us. His temperament and his mindset, he's not an ego guy. He understands his role, which is great for me from a coaching standpoint, along with James Saxon's, our running backs coach. So he's the perfect fit for what we do.
What did you like about Christian Ponder's game at Houston?
I like the fact that he moved around and made some plays on third down, Paul. That was big for our football team because that allowed us to maintain possession of the football, kept our defense on the sideline so they could be fresh when they would go back out there again and let our coaches make the necessary adjustments in between series. So our ability to be able to convert third downs, in particular with Christian, was a big deal for us on that day.
Leslie, early success is obviously important for a lot of people, specifically for the way your offense is constructed to get an early lead. But for Christian Ponder completing his first full season, how important is it for him? Like in that Niners game, 16 plays, 86 yards, 7 minutes and change. He feels good. Lions here, you spread out five wide. He finds Jarius Wright over Coleman. Feels good. In the Rams game, he takes that Robert Quinn hit, bounces off of it, gets into the end zone. And then last week goes 3 for 3 on the opening drive, closes with a touchdown. For a guy like Christian Ponder, is it more important for that to happen than some others?
It seems that way at this point of his career. When he does get off to a good start, it usually means he's going to have a good day. There's no doubt about it. So we're conscious of that as a staff. We always try to do things to make sure that he gets off to a good start because it usually results into a good day for him.
Leslie talked about Christian on third down, 8 of 12 for like 96 yards. He also had a couple of runs on third down, 1 of 21 and 1 of 29. When Christian gets loose on runs like that, what has to happen?
Well, we want him to be smart, but what's usually happening from a defensive standpoint, we get so much man coverage. People think they can play our receivers in man coverage. So that means that there's going to be a running lane there somewhere, and when he decides to take off, there's a chance for those explosive plays, whether it be a 29-yarder or, in one case, a 21-yarder. So just a matter of what he sees and then his confidence to be able to take off at the right time.
His battery mate, John Sullivan, why was he not voted onto the Pro Bowl team?
I think he was – very deserving of being a Pro Bowl player. And the fact that he's a first alternate, that's a good thing. But when you consider how well we have run the football this season, it's hard for me to imagine that neither one of our offensive linemen would be on that Pro Bowl team. So a little bit disappointing, Paul.
And he's a very opinionated sort. Was he offended?
No, he's handled it well. I mean, he really has. He understands how this thing goes, and what's most important to him is that we win the game. He's disappointed, but he knows it's important that we win as a team.
Chad Greenway is second in the NFL in tackles. He's not as big a national name, maybe because of the fathead ads, as like a Clay Matthews. Clay misses four games, has like 100 fewer tackles than Chad, but he has 12 sacks. Mm-hmm. Clay goes, Chad doesn't. Did that bug Chad?
He was disappointed, much like John. The way they categorize the linebackers is a little bit different than what they actually are. Chad is a true linebacker. Some of these guys that are categorized as linebackers are really defensive ends. And so it's a little bit misleading.
What's different about Green Bay's offense now, Leslie, compared to a month ago?
They're running the ball better, Paul. I mean, they've really made a conscious effort to become a little bit more balanced and not just put it on their quarterback to make plays in a passing game. And part of it is the changes they've had on the offensive line. They're not quite as gifted at the offensive line position as they have been in the past. So they're trying to take some of the pressure off by running the football.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Yours truly is Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park. Border battle this weekend, 3:25 Central for the kickoff. Wide receiver Greg Jennings. Has he rounded back into form from when you saw him a month ago?
It looks that way. Watching the tape, he's moving much, much better. He's playing with a lot more confidence, and they're starting to target him a little bit more. So it seems that he's really finding his stride now.
And James Jones has had a terrific season, too. Is he generally a good route-running type receiver? What makes James Jones good?
Well, he's a very quick, fast guy, and that's the one thing you have to be aware of with him, and he has very good hands as well. So he's become more of a focal point in the offense, probably because of the absence of Jennings, and at times Jordy Nelson, because of his injuries. So James Jones has stepped up and made a lot of plays for him.
Do you expect Jordy Nelson to play?
We do. All indications are that he will play in this ball game, so we'll have to be prepared for him.
Same thing with Randall Cobb.
Yes, we do expect him to play. He's also a returner for him, so we're preparing for him as well.
Speaking of returns, Leslie, the kick coverage team is not allowed to return past the 25-yard line since the Tennessee game, October 7th. I think that's 10 consecutive games. Who gets the credit?
Well, I think it starts with our special teams coordinator, Mike Prefer. He's done a terrific job all season long, along with Chris White, our assistant special teams coach, and getting our guys prepared, identifying the right guys to put in position to make plays, and then our players. I mean, I think our core group of guys, Larry Dean, Tyrone McKenzie, I mean, they've done a great job. Marvin Mitchell, Robert Bland now, Andrew Zendejo. We got a bunch of guys that are making plays for us on special teams.
You mentioned Green Bay's running the ball well over the last month, 152 against you at Lambeau. How did they run so well against you at Lambeau Field?
Well, they were able to, get a spread out with some of the things they do on offense with their receivers, and it created some running lanes, and we didn't tackle as well as we needed to on occasions, and they were able to get some good yards because of it.
What's different about the interior of their offensive line by replacing Jeff Saturday with Evan Dietrich Smith?
It seems as if they wanted to go with a younger player who may be at this point in his career a little bit more athletic, and they're looking for more athleticism on the offensive line.
What's Brian Robinson's status for the game, Leslie?
He has a chance of playing. We're still working through some things, but he has a very good chance of playing in this ballgame.
Everson Griffin's never played better.
Oh, he's playing at an outstanding rate. Rushing the passer, playing the run much better. Coming up with some big turnovers for us as well. He's really playing well.
When he plays left defensive end for you, replacing Brian Robinson, does that mean he still slides inside on nickel, or do you lose that option with him?
No, we'll still slide him in. If Brian is healthy, we'll slide him inside, because a lot of times that's a mismatch in our favor when he lines up against a guard, so we want to use that to our advantage.
Everson started well, then he had that slow patch in the middle of the season. Of course, he had the off-the-field tragedy with his mother sadly passing. Did you notice the personal trickling into the professional for him when he had to sadly deal with all that?
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, as you would expect, I mean, it was a very difficult situation. Matter of fact, He and I talked just yesterday about the fact that, you know, going through his first Christmas without his mother was difficult as well. So, but he's gotten through it. He's done a good job, and he's playing well for us.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think this is the first time since 2009 you guys have had your three best corners healthy for a Green Bay Packers game. How did Chris Cook do at Houston?
He played very well. You know, we got him in his spot duty. We matched him up with Andre Johnson any time that Chris was on the field, and that was a great matchup for us. Worked out well. We were able to contain Andre for the most part. So it's great to have him back. And you're right. You know, the last couple of Decembers, we've been kind of depleted in the secondary, so it's great to have our entire group back at least this time.
Speaking of cornerbacks, Leslie, how does Antoine Winfield's hand injury impact the game?
That remains to be seen. You know, he's going to have to make some tackles at time and be able to grab people. So we think he'll be able to get it done. We're going to have a protective covering over that hand, but we'll have to wait and see.
At Lambeau Field, they went at A.J. Jefferson repeatedly. Do you think they'll go at Josh Robinson this time, given you have Chris Cook?
They may. You know, I'm not sure, you know, what they'll do, but they tend to target the guy they think is maybe the weak link in your secondary. They're able to spread you out and force you into some situations where you do end up having to play some man. So, but I think our guys will be up to the challenge.
What makes Aaron Rodgers so good against the blitz?
The quick release makes a big difference. He gets the ball out so fast. He understands that offense so well. He knows where his hots are. He gets the football to the right people. And then the other part of it is, Paul, is his mobility.
Right.
So even if you have a free runner, there are times he can make a guy miss, and next thing you know, it's a big play for their offense.
And keeping him in the pocket at Lambeau Field seemed to be difficult. It's not like he would run for 20, 30, or 40, but those little threes to fives kept things alive and maybe most importantly tired out your defense.
No question about it. It just makes it very, very difficult. You watch tape in our game and other games where he's moving around, you know, finding guys, laying it down. It's tough on your defense. So we're going to have to find a way to corral him and keep him in the pocket. A
couple of quickies to close here with Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Team's record is 9-6. From 6-6, the progression has been great. You've won three in a row. What have been some of the keys, Leslie?
I think you know, our defense playing much better, although they've done a lot of good things throughout the year, but they really ratcheted up another notch in this month of December during this three-game winning streak, along with Christian's play. I think he's played very efficient for our football team. He's done a very good job protecting the ball. Our defense has taken the ball away. We've still maintained our excellence on special teams, and we're still running the ball very effectively. So a combination of all of those has helped us to win these last three games.
What about Harrison Smith? He's been splashy a couple of times with those defensive touchdowns. He caused a fumble at Houston recovered by Everson Griffin. But when you and I were watching film for Vikings game plan, the Sunday TV show, we saw Fred Evans sack on third and goal. And Matt Schaub was forced to look to the left longer than he wanted so Evans could close on it because Harrison Smith made a key decision. You could either, I guess, go over or go under something. He did the right thing. This is the end of a rookie season where it looks like he's seeing it very clearly.
The play he made, I mean, it's one of those, unless you really subtly look like you did at the coverage, you wouldn't know why Matt Schaub held the ball to buy some time for our rush. But Harrison did a great job of coming underneath the pick route that they were trying to run and had good coverage. And then Fred ends up with a great sack.
Christian Ponder joins the radio show pretty shortly. Do you want me to talk to him about Samantha Steele, or is that out of bounds?
I think that might be out of bounds.
Yeah, we'll just
stay away from
that. We'll let him keep that out of the facility, right?
Yes, please.
This is fun. Best of luck to you, and a tremendous job this year with the team. Yes. And hopefully you guys win this weekend, okay?
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live from Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. And welcome back. We thank head coach Leslie Frazier for joining us. Quarterback Christian Ponder coming up around the corner. But first, we get bonus Wabshaw this week on Vikings Live at Winter Park. It is our final version for the regular season of Vikings Live at Winter Park. So we have decided to review the season and kind of take a peek at how the Vikings went from beating Jacksonville to 4-1 to 6-6 to 9-6. And then we have the border battle this weekend with Green Bay. In the final segment of the radio show after the Christian Ponder interview, Mike will get into the adversarial update, and we will dive deeply into the talking points that make up the Vikings and the Green Bay Packers this weekend. We do remind you to protect the football at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's football the way it should be. Catch all of your must-see games at any of the 21 metro area locations. Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports. Good evening, Mike Wobshaw.
Good evening, Paul. How are you?
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
How was your conversation with Fox's Aaron Andrews earlier today? Is that available at Vikings.com
right now? It is indeed, and it was awesome. I mean, she, you know, you're a football fan in America. You're used to Aaron Andrews because she was with ESPN for so long. And
yes.
And worked with the College Game Day crew, and then did the Saturday night game with Brent Musburger and Kirk Herbstreit, and did such a good job. Now she's with Fox.
Yeah.
And she does the in-studio show for college football on Saturdays, and then she does pregame features on Fox NFL Sunday. Does a great job, and you know, she's attractive and she gets a lot of attention for that. But I think she's really good at what she does.
She's very good at what she does
on a professional level,
yes,
and
very well spoken.
People respect that about her as well. And when she was in Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park, it was like I was the interviewer, she was the interviewee, but I was just trying to get out of her way because she stole the show.
That's awesome.
So it was really fun to have her in here. And unfortunately, she grew up a Packers fan because her dad is a diehard Green Bay fan.
Right.
But she was able to separate herself from that and do the story on Adrian Peterson, which will air on Sunday.
And what type of story is it?
It is called Mind Over Matter.
Okay.
So I wasn't in there for the interview, but I imagine it's something about Adrian coming back from his knee injury and proving the doubters wrong, and his determination and mental toughness being key to the whole thing.
Michael, it's very kind that you joined us for bonus segments of the show. Hang around after the Christian Ponder interview because I want to dive deeply into the Vikings and the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
But we invited you in for this first fit segment to kind of wax nostalgic about where we've been, where we are, and where we may be going. Because in the first game of the season, we're beating Jacksonville, and then something called Cecil Shorts puts a touchdown on us very late, and I believe it was on Chris Cook, and it's very late in the game.
20 seconds left.
And now all of a sudden we have 20 seconds left. Then Ponder goes 2 for 2, and I'll never forget it. He hit Devin Aroma-Shadu for 26 yards across the middle, and then he got a precious X amount of yards with Kyle Rudolph.
Right.
And that game ended up being a harbinger, in my estimation, for a lot of things we would see during the course of the year. Now, it took us a while to get there, but off the Houston game, where Christian was 8 of 12 on third down, the kicker, Blair Walsh, set an NFL record for most 50-yard field goals in a season. He ties the team record with a hit from 56. Christian was very big late in that game. Mm-hmm. Adrian had 2 touchdowns. He's trying to get Eric Dickerson's record. And the kid kicker from Georgia hit from 55 to tie it, then won it from 38 in overtime.
Correct.
All of those are coming to fruition now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go through all the bumps in the road. Not blitzing at the wrong time in the Indianapolis game. Not being able to run down RG3 on the 76-yard third down play. Getting blown out at Soldier Field. Blowing a great opportunity at Lambeau. Beating San Francisco. Sweeping Detroit. So much in between. But if you look at the common threads and the harbingers from that Jacksonville game, Ponder matters again. Adrian is scoring touchdowns and is unstoppable, and Blair Walsh is hitting from everywhere. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I do. I'd go even deeper. I mean, Kyle Rudolph getting the reception that sets up Blair Walsh. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's been Christian's security blanket the whole season. And I remember, I think from an external perspective, a lot of people, whether you go to ESPN.com or NFL.com or whoever you listen to media-wise, I mean, the Vikings were picked to finish last in the NFC North,
correct,
right? Then they start 4-1, and everyone's high on the Vikings, rightfully so.
Yep.
But people weren't exactly willing to jump all the way on the bandwagon nationally. They expected the Vikings to come back to the pack, and they did. They got to 6-6. Now they've won 3 straight. So I think when you look at it that way, it's gone up and down.
Yeah.
But when you look at it from the perspective of a Leslie Frazier or an Adrian Peterson or a John Sullivan or a Chad Greenway, I think for those guys, I think for the people within the team, the 53 players, the 24 coaches, or however many there are within the team, I don't think they would describe this season as up and down roller coaster. I think from the beginning, and I remember John Sullivan on your show before the season saying, we're going to win more games than people realize, than people think.
Yeah.
And that was kind of that headline kind of popped out a little bit. Like, here's John Sullivan on a 3-13 team telling everyone that his team's going to surprise people. Well, they did. So I think internally, I don't think it's been up and down roller coaster. I think it's been really steady. I think Leslie Frazier and Rick Spielman have done a great job of installing a mindset with this team, and setting goals that we can make the playoffs and we can win, you know, we can have a successful season. And I think it's been a steady ride, a steady climb for this team the whole way.
Who do you think have been some of the unsung heroes on the team? I mean, I think first and foremost, the biggest name, if you say, okay, Vikings fans, join Wobby and I right now, and let's play the name association game. The first one to say the name is the one that gets to explain it. Most underrated star in the Minnesota Vikings, Jerome Felton. People would jump out and say Jerome Felton. He's going to the Pro Bowl. So outside of Jerome, who's been battering linebackers and defensive players for Adrian all season, he's going to the Pro Bowl, so he's been recognized. Who are some others, coaches, players, some other underrated facets of this 9-6 season where we have a chance to beat Green Bay this weekend and go to the postseason?
I think the Vikings special teams group has been sensational this season.
Good one.
And it's hard to notice that, and it's not a very flashy answer.
Yeah.
But, you know, the stat that you've thrown out during your game calls on the Vikings radio network and KFAN, that we haven't allowed a return out to pass the 25-yard line since
October 7th, 10 games.
That is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
And the thing is, Blair Walsh isn't blasting it through the end zone every time. I mean, there have been times where the Vikings are intentionally popping it up to the goal line, letting teams return it, and they still don't get out past the 25. So I would put a blanket answer on the special teams group. I think they've been great. Now, how about Harrison Smith? How about Everson Griffin?
Yeah.
You know, offensively. No, offensive guard was not a very good spot for us last year, Paul. And I'm not saying that it's been a tremendous spot or an all-star caliber spot this year, but it's better this year. And look how we're running the ball.
How about Jeff Davidson, the offensive line coach?
One. Yeah.
I mean, Jeff Davidson all throughout his career, including when he was with the New England Patriots and through the Carolina Panthers, Jeff Davidson has been associated with quality, explosive, powerhouse, efficiently running teams. And that's what he has here. Now, last year, everything, I would argue, our team was at as big a disadvantage as anybody in the NFL off the lockout. Got a new quarterback, no offseason. McNabb on the roster, some would say inexplicably, and I'd be one of them. New head coach, new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator, bunch of new coaches. We win three games. So now, Jeff Davidson with a full offseason and the drafting of Matt Khalil, you look at not only how well they're protecting Christian Ponder, because think about it. At this time last year, Christian Ponder was so battered.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, his whole body was beaten up. Now, granted, he was holding the ball too long, like a lot of kid quarterbacks will do, and he was putting the offensive line in compromising spots, and he was getting hit too much. So Christian's grown up and improved from that. But the offensive line play this year has been absolutely spectacular, not only in the running game, but really of late giving Christian clean pockets.
No, I think you're exactly right. Clean pockets is the way to describe it. Now, you listen to Leslie Frazier or Craig Johnson or Bill Musgrave talk, or you ask them questions about the offense on or off the record, and one thing that you'll hear them say, and it's coach speak, they'll say Christian's doing a better job of climbing the ladder or climbing the pocket. And I think we all know what that means, but it's interesting that they point that out. I mean, it's an aspect of the game that you just take for granted that a quarterback knows how to do.
Yep.
Get to the top of his drop and then step up into the pocket to throw it. But when you go through a season that Christian did, like last year, where you're constantly being pressured, it's beaten out of you. You don't even think to do that anymore. You go into survival mode.
Yeah.
This season, it's been different. He has not been sacked or pressured at nearly the same rate or with the same intensity that he was last year. And I think he's gotten better at some of the little things, like climbing the pocket.
The Vikings in closing here, and then we'll come back later with Mike Wobschall and handicap the Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. We're on a patch of games right now where you're hearing about very good players into each game, yet you're leaving the games and you're not hearing much from those players. Mm-hmm. For instance, into the Bears game, Julius Peppers, Peanut Tillman.
I see. On the opposing team.
On the opposing team. And then you're leaving the game going, did we even say their name during the call, Pete Bursich or Greg Coleman? Michael Brockers for the St. Louis Rams. Heard all about him all week. Robert Quinn. The only time we said Robert Quinn's name was when Christian Ponder bounced off of him and got into the end zone for the first score.
Ndamukong Suh.
Ndamukong Suh. Most recently, J.J. Watt.
Yep.
Where he's the best defensive player in the NFL, and I can't believe how impressed I am with him, even after watching the game back, with the attention that that was paid to him, but didn't really call his name till the third quarter. The question is, and we'll find it out later, will that be the case with Aaron Rodgers and or Clay Matthews? Find out later with Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com, but when we return, we'll sit down with Christian Ponder and talk to him about his on and off the field exploits and prep you for the border battle. Christian Ponder is next on Vikings Live from Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
The Midway.
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park. We continue and are very happy to be joined by Christian Ponder, starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. A late Merry Christmas and an early Happy New Year to you, young man. How are you?
I appreciate that. I'm good. I'm doing well.
With this time of the year, end of the season, Green Bay this weekend, we'll get into that momentarily, but the Pro Bowl voting was announced last night. Your backfield gets in. Felton in front of Adrian Peterson. Certainly no surprise with Adrian, not much with Jerome. Offensive line-wise, I was quite surprised John Sullivan didn't make it. And even Matt Khalil, and I know Matt's a rookie, and you kind of got to earn your proverbial way. But still, we watch him every single day and every single game. He's already, in my estimation, one of the 3 to 5 best tackles in the NFL. Were you surprised?
I was definitely surprised. Obviously, like you said, with Matt, as a rookie, I mean, he's not playing like a rookie. He's playing exceptionally well. And even if he's an 8-year veteran, I mean, he definitely deserved to be in the Pro Bowl. And same with Sully, a guy that's playing exceptionally well. I don't know if there's a better center out there that's playing that well. And you know, I think the thing needs to change is the way we vote for it. And you know, as a guy like, you know, talk about like a practice squad guy who is looking at centers, you know, who's a defensive practice squad guy, he doesn't know who deserves to go. So you know, you find a name that you recognize and that's who you vote for. And so something needs to change. And but I think that definitely that Sully and Matt deserve to go, and along with Chad Greenway. But it's unfortunate that they're not there. Hopefully, you know, as alternates, maybe they will show up there. So we'll see.
Even though the Pro Bowl is a game that really, I mean, some people watch it, but not many people watch it. Sometimes it's the inclusion in the Pro Bowl is in people's contracts, and it's a prestigious win if you get it as a player. But how seriously do players take it? I mean, do they fill out these ballots in just in lickety split fashion to get out, or do some watch film? Do some call around the league?
I think it depends. I think a lot of guys do take it serious. I think some guys, you know, don't really know, and you have a limited time to do it, so they're just, you know, flying through it and, you know, checking names that they recognize, and maybe guys that have been there before that they know are pretty good. So I think if you know, I was talking to Kevin Stefanski, one of our coaches on the staff, and he was talking about the way we should do it is maybe each team, you know, the offensive side has one ballot and everyone sits down and talks about it and has a discussion on who deserves to go, and then there's one ballot per, you know, offense, defense, and special teams for each team, and then you do it that way.
A win and in scenario this weekend. Jared Allen recently after a practice said it's a very stressful situation, you know, knowing that if you win, you get in, and if you don't, you probably don't. Is it stressful for you, or are you enjoying the moment?
There's definitely more pressure, but it is enjoyable. It's a time where this time last year, this week wasn't that fun, and this week to play for something that's meaningful is a lot more fun. And to be able to play for a chance to play in the playoffs is something you dream of as a little kid, and you got to have fun with it. Yeah, there's some more pressure, and maybe there is a little more stress, and you need to find more time to prepare for this kind of game, but you got to try to enjoy it. These moments don't come very often.
It's interesting how you would look at this week compared to this week last year, where people still were mourning the loss of Adrian Peterson in the ACL and wondering what his future would look like. And for you, it was after the Redskins game, you know, where you were just so battered, the bridge of your nose was cut. And I would imagine you would credit not only the offensive line, the tight ends, and those in the backfield, but your maturation, not holding the ball too long and just improving as a quarterback, because your body is intact and you're going to make the season.
Yeah, you know, this is obviously last year was a lot different than this year health-wise for me. And you know, I had the knee thing early on in the season. But other than that, I've came out pretty healthy. I think I've been a lot smarter running the ball, get down, you know, earlier, or throw the ball away and not take as many hits. And obviously the offensive line is doing exceptionally well. And the guys that are involved with blocking and pass protection. So I think the whole process, you've seen that we've taken a step forward as an offense between last year and this year. Everyone's a lot more comfortable in the schemes that we're doing and a lot more knowledgeable and are able to make the adjustments that we need during the game and at halftime. Everyone's a lot more mature in this offense and what Coach Musgrave is doing.
Sunday's a chance at redemption for the team and for you. Is it hard to not think about the game all the time?
It is hard. I think everyone thinks about it. I think that I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I think everyone needs to be fully focused on this game and excited for it. Obviously, it's a game that everyone needs to be completely focused on and have that level of preparation that may exceed what we've done before. And it's a very important game for this season, this organization. The two previous years where we haven't had a shot at playoffs at all, I think it's a time for us to get back to where the Minnesota Vikings need to be playing.
Your last two games have been absolutely fantastic, in my opinion. And ever since the underthrow to Jarius Wright, the major Wright picked off, the nuances and subtleties of the game have really been picked up by you. And that's off the Lambeau game. When you look back at that game, what bugs you most about your performance at Green Bay?
Just the avoidable mistakes. I mean, the mistakes I made turning the ball over were so easily avoidable, just dumb decisions that if I just throw the ball away, on the first one, we're still in scoring range. I think it was maybe second down. We still had a third down to have a chance to score. If not, put 3 points up on the board and take an even larger lead. The other one, obviously, driving down, I took too long waiting for Kyle to get open and should have just thrown it to a guy that I had open on the left and Jerome Simpson on his comeback route. And so things that were easily avoidable that could have changed the game, and I decided to go the other way with it and make a bad decision, which changed the game. But it's something that we learned from. I think it's something that gives us confidence in the fact that we were in that game at Lambeau, which is a hard place to play and a hard place to win. And it's going to be different this time around where we are at home.
So those are teaching moments for you. I mean, you're that Morgan Burnett interception early third quarter, that was a professional low for you.
Yeah.
And I know as seriously as you take this, was it hard to shake off because you've been a different guy ever since?
I thought I did a pretty good job of shaking it off. I think after the game was when I was pretty down on myself, obviously, with the result of what it was. And that flight home wasn't a very fun one, but it was something I moved on from and learned from. It helped me going in that week against Chicago. And obviously I had that turnover, but I don't think it was a bad decision. It was a poor throw. And ever since then, I think that my decision-making has been better. When we win the turnover battle, if we look at this whole season, when we win the turnover battle, we have a very good chance of winning the game.
You're concluding your first season. Do you feel sometimes from the outside you're too harshly criticized?
No, I think that, I mean, myself, I more harshly criticize myself than anyone else can. I think that I'm very hard on myself and expect myself to play the best I can every week. And I don't think that it's undeserving. I think that I think it's great that our fans have such high expectations for our team and myself, and it wouldn't be good if they had low expectations. I'm happy that they have those kind of expectations, and it pushes me to get better and make sure that I don't make those mistakes again.
Are you more comfortable leaving the pocket or staying in it?
I think both. I think I do a good job of when I have to escape the pocket, or if we are doing nakeds and rolling out, that I do a good job of throwing on the run and buying time. But at the same time, I think that I need to continue working on what I'm doing in the pocket, my pocket movement. But I think that this past week I thought I made some good throws out of the pocket.
Is game planning for Clay Matthews the same as game planning for J.J. Watt, or are they completely different players?
No, they're different. They play different spots, and Clay's obviously a great player, and he's a guy that we do have to account for. I mean, he's a guy that we consider as a game wrecker, so a guy that we have to be aware of at all times and make sure that we do have maybe an extra block on him or whatever we're going to do schematically to help keep him out of the game.
How do you combat the nerves into a game like Sunday? How do you stay calm, more so in your private time outside of the facility?
I think it's just accepting the fact that having more nerves is a natural thing. Obviously, with what is at stake at this game and how important this game is, I think everyone's going to have nerves. Once we get out there, it's the same. I mean, week in, week out, I always have nerves. Up until that first snap or that first hit I take, that's when they go away. So, I know it's going to be there, and that's fine. It happens all the time, and I'll be fine.
Christian, given the way this offense is constructed, how important is it to have the lead early in the game?
Very important. I think it's important for us every game. This game isn't any different. But we like starting fast, which we've done the past 3 weeks. We like putting 7 points or 3 points, whatever. We just want points on the board in that first drive, help establish a rhythm and set the tone for the rest of the game. Especially if we want to keep running the ball, so we want to include Adrian in the game all four quarters, rather than if we're playing from behind and 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, we know we got to start throwing the ball more. And You know, obviously we take our best player out of the game, and so it is important to establish an early lead. And you know, as an offense, we like keeping the pressure on us rather than putting all the pressure on the defense to stop them. We like having the pressure and having the ball in our hands and making sure we're scoring.
After you lost Percy Harvin for the majority of the second half of the season, how much of the offense had to be reconstructed? How much of the approach or game plan had to be reconstructed, or did it not?
Not that much. I mean, our game plan is reconstructed every week for who we're playing, and we game plan everybody. Coach Musgrave does a great job of identifying strengths and weaknesses of each defense that we face and developing a game plan against those guys. And I think Jarius Wright is a guy that's very similar to Percy, and he's done a great job where we're starting to bring these plays back that we use for Percy and using Jarius to fill those shoes and do a great job making those plays.
Last one, you're 0-3 against Green Bay. How badly do you and the guys want to win this game?
I mean, whether it was Green Bay or not, for a chance to be in the playoffs, I think everyone wants to win this one badly, and obviously it is Green Bay. It means a lot to this state and this organization to beat the Packers. And, you know, everyone, even people in the offseason, said we could go 1-15 as long as we beat the Packers one time. So we do want to beat them. It's a rivalry game. That means a lot.
Christian, great job. Thank you.
Yeah,
best of luck.
Okay. Thanks.
Christian Ponder, quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com is next on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Imagine how.
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park. We thank Christian Ponder for joining us. Likewise for Leslie Frazier, Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com with your adversarial update. He was nice enough to join us earlier and kind of recap some of the underrated facets of this outstanding 9-6 season we have had so far. You may say, listening to the Vikings radio network and not listening to the show weekly or following the Vikings closely, what are you talking about, cheerleader? What are you talking about, Homer? 9-6, why are you so proud? We were 3-13 last year.
9-23 the past two seasons.
Yeah, and 6 wins before that.
Yep.
So, yeah, 9-6 is great. Winning at St. Louis is fantastic. Winning at Houston was absolutely stunning the way it worked out. And the players and coaches and everybody involved with the team should be certainly very proud of it. And now the Minnesota Vikings are in a position to go to the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
If they beat the Green Bay Packers Sunday at 3:25, pregame on the flagship, FM 100.3, The Fan at 1:30, and throughout the Vikings radio network at 2:30, if they beat the Packers, they go to the postseason. I mentioned it earlier before the Christian Ponder interview. Let's hit on it right now. The Vikings into games against the Bears, the Rams, and the Texans, they have identified certain players on the team that they want to neutralize.
Right.
In essence, make them blank spots on the bingo card. Hasn't exactly been that way all the time, but when it comes to Michael Brockers, Robert Quinn, J.J. Watt, Julius Peppers, Charles Tillman, and so on, they've done a really good job of neutralizing them. Now, it's Clay Matthews.
For sure.
And Clay missed 4 games. He's going to the Pro Bowl. He has 12 sacks. In his last 2 games, he has 3 sacks. So he's hitting the quarterback again. Neutralizing Clay Matthews. Your thoughts?
Hard to do. He's such a good athlete, good at rushing the passer. He's smart. He's in the right place at the right time most of the time. And I think they do some creative things with Clay Matthews. I think they like to spy with him on third down. So if you have a quarterback who is good at running with the football to salvage a drive, which Christian Ponder can do, and he did last week against Houston with the 29-yard dash that he had, you know, it's tougher to do against Green Bay because there's going to be times where they have Clay Matthews as a spy defensively. So, yeah, this guy's a good athlete. I remember watching Clay Matthews against the Bears earlier this season. I mean, he wrecked the game.
Yeah.
I mean, he ruined the game for the Bears.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the guy can change games. It's going to be tough to neutralize him. I think we can do it. The Vikings did a great job of that with J.J. Watt, using motions and shifts to really, I don't want to say take J.J. Watt out of the game, but really to try and get around him and do as good a job as they could of preventing him from making plays. You didn't see him jumping up and swatting a lot of passes down. You didn't see him pressuring Ponder a lot. So they did a good job against J.J. Watt. If they can do a good job against him, I think they can do a good job against Clay.
It's the adversarial update with Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. We are in deep stretch of Vikings Live at Winter Park. This is the final regular season version of Vikings Live at Winter Park. I would imagine we would have another one next week if the Vikings go to the playoffs and if they beat Green Bay this weekend. weekend. We go to the playoffs, and quite honestly, it could be from Lambeau Field against these same Green Bay Packers. Carry us through your notes for the adversarial update. We have 5 minutes left in the show. You get as much as you want.
Well, let's start with the start of the game. The Mall of America Field and the Mall of America Field crowd, it's going to be unbelievable on Sunday. That place is going to be raucous. It's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy.
Yes.
Paul, if you win the coin toss, what if you're the Vikings head coach, what would you do?
That's an excellent question, Wobby.
Would you kick to him? Would you defer?
I would defer and take it in the second half.
I think I would, too.
Yeah.
Whenever the Vikings take the field offensively for the first time, whether it's right after right after the opening kickoff or the next time, that's a key moment in the game, and here's why.
Right.
The Vikings are on a three-game winning streak, and what have they done each of the last three games?
Deferred.
Well, I don't know if they've deferred, but they've scored a touchdown on their first offensive possession.
We have taken the lead early.
The Packers have allowed two touchdowns all season on their opponent's opening possessions
of the
game. So I think something's got to give there. I think that's going to be an important moment in the game. You know, after that, I think things are going to settle down. These teams are familiar with each other, and it's going to be each team doing what it does best and who can do that best on Sunday.
Yeah.
The Vikings are obviously going to try and play great defense and run the ball with Adrian Peterson. Nothing new there. The Packers, I think they're going to try and run the ball. I really do. I think they're going to try and run the ball because it obviously opens up the passing game. And I also think there's a part of Green Bay. They're not going to play scared because Mike McCarthy is very against that if you ever listen to his press conferences. But I think they're going to be cognizant of Aaron Rodgers' health. I think they're going to use a lot of rollouts and bootlegs to get him away from pressure. I think they're going to try and run the ball a lot, and I think they're going to use the quick strike passing game.
And the question is, with whom would they run? Because James Starks had a big game against the Vikings a month ago, subsequently has missed the last three. Alex Green had a decent game. I think he averaged nearly 5 yards per carry against us, but he's been banged up of late. And now they have Ryan Grant, the former Packer. He played against us earlier this year when he was with the Redskins, and he had a big game last week against the Tennessee Titans. So it could be running back by committee, and John Kuhn runs too, and they just may keep coming at you in waves, Wabi.
They have this kid named DeJuan Harris, DeJuan. I believe. I like him. Yes. He's sudden. He's quick. Sudden. I mean, Green Bay had 4 rushing touchdowns. I know that they were pitching a virtual shutout last week, and it was very easy for them to overcome that and beat Tennessee, and the route was on. But, you know, they had 4 rushing touchdowns, and they were able to run the ball. I mean, the Vikings cannot allow that to happen. If it's hard enough to stop Aaron Rodgers in this passing game anyway.
Yes.
If the Packers are running the ball for 3, 4, 5 yards on first down and you have second and short, third and shorting it, it's going to be really tough. So everyone's going to go in there thinking, okay, we got to stop Aaron Rodgers. We got to pressure the quarterback. We got to disrupt these receivers. We do have to do that. But the first thing you have to do when you're playing at home is you have to shut the opposing team's rushing attack down, because if you don't do that, it's going to be much harder to accomplish all of your other goals defensively. So you might not think of it when you think of playing the Packers, but on Sunday, the Vikings have to be good against the run. They have to be gap sound. They have to be technique strong.
Yeah.
And they cannot let Green Bay get into second and mediums and third and shorts.
How about no turnovers? Green Bay's 1-3 this year when the opponent does not turn over the ball.
Okay.
That's not winning the take give. That's just not turning over the ball. Well, Christian's been very good at that. Likewise for Adrian of late, since that Bears game when he had a couple of fumbles. How about not turning over the ball and giving yourself the truest form of a great chance to win?
You know, and I think that's a good point. And the winning formula for the Vikings on offense is to run the ball, obviously, with Adrian Peterson when he goes for 210 against Green Bay in 3 quarters last time, and when he's challenging the 2,000-yard mark and Eric Dickerson's rushing record. I mean, obviously, the winning formula is to run the ball. But if you dig a little bit deeper on that, Paul, I think if you're able to run the ball well and your running backs can secure it and not fumble, you know, that is going to put you in less compromising situations as an offense, especially as a passing offense. You're not going to face 3rd and 8 where everyone in the building knows you're passing it.
Yep.
When you get into those situations, I think your interception rate goes up. Your interception rate is going to stay lower. Your turnover rate is going to stay lower if you are what we call ahead of schedule on the down and distance.
Yep.
Your 1st and 10, then your 2nd and 5, then your 3rd and 2. Your turnovers are just going to go down when that happens. The Green Bay Packers, pretty good at taking the ball away. They have, I believe, 23 takeaways. 18 of them are interceptions.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think what happens is Green Bay gets ahead, and they get teams in obvious passing situations, and their ball hawks are able to sit back there and jump routes and take chances.
Yeah.
If the Vikings can run the ball, stay in this game, maybe even grab a lead early, and not get in those obvious third and long passing situations, I think they're going to be able to hold on to the ball.
Excellent work at Vikings.com with the video and written content, not only up to this game, but all season. And I'm not going to treat this like this is our final Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm going to say talk to you next week when we preview round one of the playoffs, all right?
And it'll be against the Packers probably. Let's go.
That's Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. Make sure to join Mike Wobshaw at 10:15 tomorrow along with yours truly and Paul Charchian. It's the Friday Football Feast from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Crystal. Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports. The on-site producer is Jay Nelson. The producer of Vikings Live at Winter Park is Joe Nelson. Executive producer of the Vikings Radio Network, Chad Abbott. Executive producer of the Vikings Entertainment Network is Brian Harper. For all of us here at Winter Park and with the flagship FM 100.3 The Fan, I'm Paul Allen, inviting you to the Vikings and the Green Bay Packers game Sunday at 3:25. Win and get in. That's what it comes down to on the Vikings Radio Network.